right, well, let's continue our end of season recap with all the teams from outside the top four, starting in fifth place with Vitória, who ended the season with 63 points, 5 points behind Braga in fourth, and 9 points behind Porto in third. Until the last few weeks of the season, Barney, they were very much in the hunt for third place. They set a record points total and finished fifth, despite the fact that they had five managers this season. And yes, I will be quizzing you, asking you to name them all in order. Incredible that they've had so much success on the field then, despite off-field distractions. And it's a funny one, because I think you can credit one man with that success in Alvaro Pacheco. But then, of course, the saga that developed out of Alvaro Pacheco's season in charge was a very, very disappointing way to end the season. I don't know whether you even want to deal with that situation, but
no, well, I mean, he, you know, I think that's the thing. You know, you mentioned that they had a record points total, and they finished the season so strongly, but having had such a turbulent start, you know, they dropped out of the Conference League to Slovenian side Cluj, really disappointing in the qualification rounds. Moreno then left, and you know, they just looked like a shambles, to be honest. Although, no, to be fair, Moreno had them in a sort of fairly decent spot, but there was, you know, there was still a bit of drama around that. And then, yeah, Pacheco came in and just really shored them up, sorted out the defence, brought in, like, you know, went for the experience rather than the youth as Moreno had gone. You know, like, so Borevkovic, Fulanova, Jorge Fernandez, you know, bring them back in. Bruno Gasper as well was probably one of my favourite players for them. 30-year-old, you know, we always talk about Z Carlos or Maga as right wing backs, but Bruno Gasper came into the team and was excellent for Pacheco. And yeah, he just, you know, they lost Andre Silva in the summer, you know, their best striker, but they continued on. Pacheco brought Charles Caesar in the game, brought out the best in Jota Silva, who got his Portuguese call up. Just a drama non-stop from Vitória this season, which I think we've become accustomed to. Yeah, it's such an interesting season, and I think, yeah, I still can't really wrap my head around the fact that Pacheco has gone in the manner he has, and how quickly it's happened. I've just been looking in pictures of him in his Vasco da Gama kit, you know, like, just like,
yeah. He really started to confuse me, because, you know, he joined Vitória. It wasn't his first club of the season. So important to remember that. He was at Estoril at the beginning of the season and really didn't achieve a lot. They got rid of him after five games, right? Goes to Vitória, the biggest team of his career. Does really well, gets them playing really good football, gets them up the table. And apparently it's decided during the season between him and the ownership and the president, for whatever reason, that he's not going to continue beyond the end of the season. Like, that's decided quite early. I have no idea why. So he starts looking for jobs in Brazil. He starts having interviews and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, on his first day in Brazil, in his first interview, he says, oh yeah, I'm going to go back to the Portuguese league very soon. It's like, this guy's just very confused. But I suppose it is important to say then that it's great that they achieved so much despite all that chaos. It also looks like they're going to move for Rui Borges, the Moreirense manager, which I think is an excellent choice as replacement. We'll come to talk about Moreirense next. But look, if Vitória are able to have this kind of success, despite the kind of chaos that seems to surround them, I think that's probably good, because the chaos never seems to go away. I think it's also a good sign, Barney. The star player, obviously, Jota Silva. He's probably the only player that I think might leave in terms of getting a big money move to a bigger club. And I am optimistic that even if he was to leave, they'd be able to replace him pretty well and therefore keep going with the good work that they've done, because they've got a decent little squad there, they've got a good manager, and if they were able to achieve fifth in a pretty chaotic season, if they have a bit more stability next season, then they could hopefully, you know, do the same again.
Yeah, I mean, the only other players I'd add to that, I really like João Mendes at the beginning of the season, that, you know, he sort of just popped out of the blue and was getting goal after goal. I also, Thomas Handel, the young Portuguese-Austrian in midfield, has looked like he's had quite a good season in terms of developing and solidifying himself in that midfield. And finally, Manu Silva, I think, has been playing in the back line as well. Another young player who, you know, we saw glimpses of under Moreno, but now is, looking better and better. So there's lots of positives there, lots of young players. I think I think I agree with you there. Jota Silva should get his move. He's the way he's developed the season has been phenomenal in terms of, and you know how important he was to Vitória for goals. He's been great. Yeah, really, really good.
All right. Morens then, Barney, who ended the season in sixth place with 55 points. Disappointing because last season a sixth place finish would have earned them European football, but alas, not this season. Incredible stat about Morens, Barney. They only scored 36 goals in the whole season. Barely one over one goal a game. But they only conceded 35, so they have a goal difference of plus one. Interestingly, only Estrella and Shavs have scored less goals than them this season in the whole league. But an incredible season in terms of league position when you consider that they're a newly promoted team and they finished in sixth place, you know, above a lot of teams who've been in this league a lot longer. I used to joke about the fact that they won a lot of games 1-0 and drew a lot of games 0-0. But look, it really worked. So credit to them.
Yeah, the thing. So first of all, I think when I was researching Morens for the beginning of the season, I was so focused on their attacking players. But as you spoke about then with their defensive record, that has really been their key. It's been, you know, lots of factors. I think first of all, the fact they brought in Marcelo for a bit of experience. I think he was playing in Saudi Arabia. He was previously playing at Paso de Ferreira in this league. Maracas as well, another ex-Pasos player who came from Qatar as well. But getting those two in, who had both been playing and played at top level before, that brought a bit of solidity to that fence. And with the likes of Frimpong on the left wing back and Fabiano the right wing back, who are quite attacking players, you know, but that works so well. And then he had sorry, he had Gonçalo Franco and Lorenzo Faure as well, sort of protecting that back line. I think the point. Rui Borja's the manager, right? He wasn't even the manager who got them promoted, but it's largely the same team that got won the promotion. You know, they made a few additions, but those players who came in, like, you know, Castro from Braga, were sort of more fringe players rather than starting players, and he sort of kept them. So, their organization is brilliant. You know, to go that season with so conceding so few goals. We spoke about them being toothless and having their striking issues when André Lewis left, and I think that was a little bit of a factor. But they didn't need that many goals because they were so strong defensively. Kevin in goal as well had a, I think he had his most joint most clean sheets, I think. They've been a huge success story. Done so well to just be absolutely nowhere near any danger at any point this season. Rui Borja has certainly earned the move to Vitória for the work he's done. I think it's a good example of, you know, I think we're used to seeing clubs come up from the league below and we get sucked into them playing an exciting attacking style of football. Whereas I think Morens have come up and been really functional, really, really safe and really clever with the way they've got points essentially. They've really earned their place at that end of the table.
Absolutely. And one thing they will have to consider next season, and of course, with a new manager, what direction do they go in? Because, you know, they obviously have a new person in charge and a new way of doing things. So interesting to see how that goes. And I just quickly wanted to add a final point, Barney, which is that a lot of their standout players, as you mentioned, were free transfers. So from that perspective, they've done what they've done this season with an incredible shoestring budget. Ponk was a free transfer. Afori was a free transfer. Marrakesh, Marcelo, both free transfers. Castro, who they signed from Braga in January, was a free transfer. So not only have they achieved a lot with a small squad and an inexperienced squad, not experienced, but you know, a largely single in the Liga squad, but they've also done it with a very small budget. So a lot of credit has to go their way. How about then Barney Aruca, who finished in seventh place on 46 points? They scored 54 goals and had, in my opinion, lots of great performances this season and some great wins against impressive clubs. They played really good football under Daniel Sousa, hence his move to Braga. But a slow start to the season with different management and the distraction of European football ultimately held them back and meant that they didn't finish higher up in the table.
Yeah, it really took them a while to get going, didn't it? And I think that took us all by surprise, because you know they have quite a small squad and you almost know who's going to play. Some just the success stories are just the one what I love, you know, the Mujica and Cristo, Cristo arriving from Udinese, sort of playing as a second striker behind Mujica. Got the did he get the most assists? I can't remember. He got 9 assists and 15 goals. You know, that's great numbers. Rafa
Brilliant.
Mujica got his 20 goals as well. Those two were absolutely key, and Jason as well. I agree that I think Jason, another Spanish player who came in the summer. I think Jason and Cristo played every single game, right? They're so consistent, really smart bits of business, and we've become to get used to that with Arouca. You know, they've always managed to pick up these players, and I think the Spanish market is certainly working for them. Daniel Souza just really, really revolution. Well, no, maybe, do you know what? He obviously did very well. They're playing some really nice football. You know, there was it the goal against Porto, which was like I think people would describe as choreographed. The amount there's loads of passes, and it just seems like you
That
know
was
that.
probably their goal of the season. In my opinion, that was a, I think it was a 3-2 win over Porto, their best performance of the season. So it kind of really summed up their whole way of playing.
Yeah, exactly. And but I think what I was trying to say is that like you know this is a team that has done well in the past. There's really good players in there. We know that they did well to keep a lot of those players, and they were able to sort of make smart additions. They're turning into this really interesting club out. But I'm you know these the Rukas are the sort of team I cannot wait to see what happens with next year. Obviously, the manager coming in will be vitally important. And as we said at the beginning of the show, that seems to be they seem to have sorted that out. But you know they seem to be able to keep on to enough players. You know whether that will happen this year, we'll have to see. But Mujica's already gone. I think there's talks of Sila leaving. But no, I think a really, really good season. I was hoping they'd get a bit closer towards the end. They didn't quite have a as strong a finish as they had been playing. But really, you know, just a great success story. You know, we like these sort of stories, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, that news that they have got a new manager, a Spanish manager, Gonzalo Garcia. You have to forgive us. We don't know anything about him. I'm sure nobody really knows anything about him. He's a Spanish coach who played and managed most of his career in the Netherlands. He most recently managed Twente in the Netherlands and also Istra in Croatia. Interesting, though, that it looks like they're looking to continue that kind of connection they have with Spain, going with the Spanish manager and probably slightly more Spanish players. In the summer. Yeah, like you said, Barney, those star players, Mujica, 20 goals. Looks like they're going to sell him for
That's
£10 million.
huge.
That's a huge, huge fee for Arouca. Cristo and Jason, as you said, listen, my captain, David Simão, what a player in midfield at 35 years old. He's played so well. There's been a lot of great players, and I think it's exciting times for Arouca because they've shown that they're not just a one season wonder now. Their recruitment is there, their hiring of managers is there. And so, no matter what happens in terms of the summer, that transfer fee alone for Mujica is going to set them up for quite a few years. Maybe they'll get more transfer fees as well for other players. And if those players do leave, you really fancy them to replace them with more exciting signings that we hadn't heard of before. So, yeah, really exciting times for Arouca, I think.
Just add on the sort of the business side of things, like you said, the great fee for Mujica. But I was just looking at their previous departures. Obviously, João Basso went to Santos for 2.5 mil, which might seem quite small, but it's big for this sort of size of club. I forgot they sold Antony to Portland Timbers, the sort of Brazilian winger, and also young centre-back Rafael Fernandes has gone to Lille. You know, they're starting to knock up regular big chunks of money coming in, which is vitally important for this league, you know, to have that coming. So I think, yeah, they're in a great position. They're a really well-run club, actually. I really, really like Arouca.
Let's talk about Famalicão in eighth place, Barney. 42 points, 10 wins, 12 draws, 12 losses. And for a club with one of the bigger budgets in the league outside of the traditional top clubs, I think any season where they don't push for Europe is a bit of a disappointment. So they were 21 points away from a European place this season, which for me, I think is a real shame. They were 13 points behind Moreirense in sixth. You know, when I was talking about Moreirense and how they'd achieved more than what some established clubs in this league have done, I think Famalicão is a great example of the type of team who really should be looking at Moreirense and saying there's no way we should finish behind that type of club in the league. Their budget's bigger, they've got more experienced players, they've got, you know, more experience in the league. I mean, to be fair to Famalicão, you know, success is never guaranteed in this league unless you're one of the top three clubs. But, you know, on paper, they have a good squad as Arouca's. They probably have a better squad than Moreirense. But yet, I don't think they ever really challenged either of those clubs for a European place.
No, I think if I was to identify the main reason for that, I'd say it's the striking position. I know Johan had his moment in the second half of the season where he went on a great run of form, but they really banked on Henrique Araújo for on loan from Benfica to be that guy, and that never materialized. Because I would say, arguably, the rest of their businesses, I think, has been quite successful. You look at Francisco Moura, has been probably one of the best left backs in the league. Justine de Haas has come in and been a good centre back. He's sort of filled in from the departure of Otavio. Nathan's been a good at right back, and in midfield, Mika Topic's been excellent, rumoured with Seville. And yeah, I guess I was confused at the beginning of the season when 18-year-old Finnish attacking midfielder from the Finnish league, Otso Limata, was getting so much time at number 10, and it seemed, when you had Gustavo Sarr on the bench, why wasn't he playing? And when he finally broke into the team, he really made things work. And the Chiquinho on loan from Wolves was an excellent bit of business as well. But yeah, it's disappointing because, we always describe their transfer business as having, say, being like, throwing loads of bits at the wall and seeing what sticks. And then it almost felt like that sort of bled into their team selections as well. And that eventually they seem to get it right. Armando Evangelista sort of came in and definitely improved them. He's you know that he coincided with their sort of success towards the second half of the season. But yeah, it feels disappointing to hear a spell out there of how many points there are off Europe. That isn't good enough, really.
The one interesting thing, though, Barney, is that for a team that's not achieved a lot, I have actually got a list of quite a few players that I think have been pretty good this season. A few that you mentioned, Jean de Cadiz, who I appreciate his success only was really in the latter part of the season. Actually, it coincided, I think, with Armando Evangelista's arrival, which we'll come on to in a sec. But Gustavo Sarr, great young player. Zaidu Youssef, the midfielder, who I think could play for a bigger club in this league. Francisco Moura, I agree with you, brilliant at left back. Luis Junior, the goalkeeper, I think he's constantly showing that he's a good keeper in the league. And Chiquinho was good on loan. But, that's a really good spine. That's one, two, three, four, five, six good players in a starting 11 that should really be able to make the team do better. I guess a lot of their underachievement came under João Pedro Sousa. I think it was a bit unfortunate that he kind of couldn't get the best out of the squad. He's achieved good things with Famalicão in the past. This was his second spell and it wasn't really as good as the first. I did think they looked better when Armando Evangelista came in, although I think there's actually a question mark over whether Evangelista is going to even continue at Famalicão, despite the fact that he was only there for something like 8 games or even less. So, I was thinking about Famalicão slightly bigger picture, and that I do think this feels like the end of a cycle for Famalicão. I think a lot of those players that we mentioned might move on. They probably need a new group of fresh players, and they probably, unless they keep Evangelista, need a new manager as well. So, we've seen Famalicão under the kind of João Pedro Sousa era for a little while, not quite achieve what they want. So I wonder whether we'll see improvements or changes looking into next season. All right, well, let's move on to Casapia in ninth place, Barney. 38 points, 10 wins, 8 draws, 16 losses. Despite being in ninth place, excuse me, in the middle of the table, they were only 6 points away from safety. They were 25 points off the top five. I think for a team like Casapia with such a small budget and such a kind of, not the biggest history of playing in the top division, despite last season's successes, I think it's important to remember that, they are a small club. They have a small budget, and really what matters is survival, and ultimately they were able to achieve that.
Yeah, it took them a while to get back. They went through a bit of a transition this season. When Gonzalo Santos finally came in February, sort of got them back to how we knew them to be. When they were under Felipe Martins, a sort of 3-4-3 formation. You bring out the best of the players. You look at the fullback positions and Larrazabal and the right wing back and Lello. And playing with the three centre backs as well helped them. Yeah, they've had a. They, I think their struggle really has been. In the attacking areas, they obviously lost Clayton in January as well, who though he hadn't got a huge amount of goals, was a good striker. Yuki Tsuma sort of dipped in and out of form. But yeah, I do like how they've ended, and they were never really in too much danger, which I think is important to highlight. I'll be interested. I'm excited to see them for the future. Although I think, are we right in thinking Gonçalo Santos is potentially going to move to Fulham to be part of Marco Silva's coaching team, which will be interesting. Lots of talent there, lots of young talent. Players like Segovia, Pablo Roberto, players like Samuel Justo on loan from Sporting had a few good moments. But yeah, they've done well to steer clear, had a strong finish, and yeah, I think you can't really ask for much more from that.
No, I completely agree, and they were never really in the relegation zone, although they were close, I think is pretty good. Obviously, disappointing to kind of lose two managers who I think looked like promising prospects. They'll have to look in the summer for another one. It obviously wasn't quite as exciting as that first season they were in the Premier League, and we thought they were really going to disrupt the top five. But look, you can't get that kind of success every season. And I think I wouldn't really even ask for much more next season either, Barney. I think for them, it's just about survival and continuing maybe to bring in interesting young players that they can develop and sell on. I think if that's going to be their business model, then that's a perfectly valid one that they can look to continue. Let's move down to Ferenc, Barney, in 10th place. They finished with 37 points after 10 wins, 7 draws, and 17 losses. They were 5 points away from safety and 26 points off the top five. It's interesting, Bonnie, because I do actually think of Ferenc as having a better season than Kasapia, but they actually finished below them in the table by 1 point. And I think that feeling is kind of boosted by a better end to the season, where I think they put on more good performances and got more wins as the season went on. And I was left with a feeling of friends that they'd been had a successful season and played good football.
Yeah, they were quite good to watch, and I think yeah, it was for a promoted team. I think they've done very well. They had a strong unit. I liked Jose Mota put a strong back line together. Gonçalo Silva and Muscat, both good experienced centre backs, and in midfield as well. Isidoro is a really good player. But it was the sort of attacking players that really caught the eye, wasn't it? I think Bruno Duarte had a good season. I do like him, and he's done that before in this league. And Bellumi as well, who's one of my star players this year, the right wing, the Algerian right winger. Yeah, really good. Just so great skills, some lovely goals. So yeah, they've done. I think yeah, I think we've they've been one of those sort of. I think we've always appreciated them this season. They've always looked pretty good. They did do well. They perhaps should have finished above Casapia maybe, but yeah, they've had a good year.
Yeah, and I think I'm pleased for Jose Motto as well, because he had a difficult time at Pasto Ferreira last season. He was brought in for a few games and then dismissed, and kind of wasn't very good for his reputation. So I think for him as a manager, this has been a good kind of boost for his reputation. I think he can take pride in the work that he's done with Ferenc, and I hope he sticks around and some of those players stick around, because Bellumi I can see leaving because he could be quite a valuable sale, along with Ricardo Velho, the goalkeeper, who we know they've actually
Oh
turned
yeah, how
down
can I not
up
mention
to
him?
something like 10 million euros from Sevilla. So
Yeah.
he could also be a high profile departure, and that would be fantastic money for a club like that. I'd like to see Bruno Duarte stay, Barney. 13 goals a season, surely his most productive league in season in Portugal, because he never scored that many goals for Vitória that I remember. But he had a really good season. So if they can keep Jose Mota, I feel optimistic that Ferenc will do well again next season. Down in 11th place then, Barney, Rio Ave. Some incredible stats about Rio Ave, Barney. 6 wins all season.
That is
Six.
mad. That is mad.
19 draws. 19 draws and 9 losses. That left them with 37 points, 5 points above safety. Important to remember that they played the first half of the season with the same squad that they ended last season's with, as they were under a transfer embargo. They were able to bring in new players in January, although it didn't actually result in a lot more wins, but it did result in survival. I think it was a funny season for Rio Ave, perhaps one that they almost have to write off because of the whole transfer embargo situation. But they stayed up, they avoided relegation. They got some good players in that squad, and they got a good manager, crucially, who looks like he's going to be there for another season. So I think perhaps, you know, we were optimistic that the second half of the season would see more of a boost, would see more of an improvement. I think the way it turned out, they pretty much have to write this season off and look to go again next year, you know, a fresh start after a summer transfer window.
Yeah, I mean, Luis Fri has done incredibly well to guide them this year. It was very hard to not be able to make transfers, and so for them to, you know, do the first half of the season without any additions, plus losing a few players, and then having to wait till January to then improve, to, you know, to make those changes, they've done incredibly well. I've liked the players in defence. Adlan Santos, 35 years old now, but he's you know, he's been a really good defender. Costina only moved to Olympiacos, but has been incredible at that right wing back position, both defensively and going forward. The draw statistic is ridiculous. Like, it is, it's funny. You know, you can laugh at it, but when you look at it, that's 19 points guaranteed. You know, that's a huge amount of points. Some results against the big team, we saw them do it against Benfica last game of the season. Luis Frias, be interesting to see what happens with him. A bit of a weird season where at one point we thought he was guaranteed to leave, and then it seems that he might be staying. Who knows? He'll definitely have his suitors. He's done an incredible job. Yeah, really, really funny team we have, but like, some really interesting players. I mean, the defensive midfielder. I think at one point when I was looking at my sort of global statistics, he was one of the best press resistant midfielders in the world. Like, but just little, you know, little individuals having sort of interesting stories, you know, as he's coming back. But you know, Emmanuel Boateng leaving, but you know, he's their top goal scorer, 7 goals throughout the team. Ukra retiring as well, you know, just, yeah, it's definitely, I'd say it's been a success, Howard, considering the turmoil they've had.
Absolutely. And just below them in 12th place was Gil Vicent, who ended the season with 36 points. They had 9 wins, 9 draws and 16 losses. One place lower than last season, Barney, 1 point less than last season. If we're being honest, all fairly unremarkable.
Yeah, just the manager situation, like so many of these teams, you know, they got managerial decisions wrong. I think Tozer Mareso coming in April brought a bit more quality, or brought them back to a level which we were sort of expecting from them. I thought they have their signings have been an issue. They've haven't sort of sorted out the sort of central midfield roles, positions. That's been their weakest area. They've got some great attackers, you know, Fujimoto. Maxime Dominguez has been one of my favourite players this year, the sort of Swiss-Spanish midfielder. He's brought a real touch of class. Felix Correa, on loan from Juventus. You know, they have these gems. It just, perhaps they needed a striker as well. But yeah, talent throughout the team in certain positions, and then really lacking others, has been probably their biggest issue this year. To be honest, I think I've been disappointed with them. I think they could have done more potentially. But it's like I say, I think the manager situation really hasn't helped them this year. It depends what sort of personnel they're able to bring in the summer to see how they're going to do next year.
Well, they had that really bizarre situation, didn't they, Barney? Where was it? They lost every single away game for the first half of the season, or something crazy. So, you know, how are you supposed to achieve anything when you're going through a patch like that? So yeah, kind of disappointing. I only say that because Gil Vicente's a team that we've seen achieve interesting things in recent history, as little as 2 seasons ago. So perhaps always slightly disappointing when they don't achieve. Although, of course, we'll never begrudge them survival for any team, pretty much outside the top 5. That's always the aim. So that's what they've done again. So credit to them for that. I hope that things improve under Mareko, and maybe they, a few more of these interesting signings kind of improve things next season. But listen, if you were to ask the president of Gil Vicente next season if they were going to finish in exactly the same place with exactly the same points total, chances are he'd probably take it. So fair play to them. In 13th place, Barney, we had Estoril with 33 points. 9 wins, 6 draws, 19 losses. Now, again, to go back to reacting to our predictions at the beginning of the season, it wasn't just you that predicted Estoril to have a very exciting season. A lot of people, and a lot of people whose opinions I respect greatly, predicted Estoril to have an exciting season with a young squad, with exciting young players. And at the time, an interesting manager in Alvaro Pacheco. They obviously switched him out for Vasco Seabra when they were really struggling at the beginning of the season. And we did see a kind of a bump in form when he joined, but ultimately it wasn't sustained. They lost far too many games for my liking. Their defence was far too weak for much of the season. And I don't know what you think, but should they have finished high with some of the quality players that they have?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think they definitely should have, particularly in their sort of the attacking options. It was quite surprising, really, how much of an impact João Basso made coming back to the league in January, because he really sort of helped them a little. It was noticeable, the improvement, despite their cup run. But and you know, we were talking about so many individuals, really, but we never really saw the team come together. Obviously, Rodrigo Gomes had his moment and a fantastic start to the season. He might be moving to Wolves for all we know. Rafi Gaitán, of course, continued to have like standout individual performance. But I think that's it, really, isn't it? It's lots of individual stars, but they're never really sort of coming together. Really disappointing for them, despite all this. Sorry, I'm just looking at their squad and I'm like, almost every player, I'm like, good player, good player, good player.
Yeah, I mean, so this is what I mean by it. I mean, so it was interesting. I did see some comments from Vasco Seabra after the season ended where he thought it was, he said, you know, it was a fantastic season. And I think surely he can't believe that, because, you know, they were really close to getting into the relegation zone, and I think they really could have done better. So for me, I think this has to go down as a disappointment. Even when you look at some of those players, like, for example, you take Rafi Gaitán, player that we talked about a lot at the beginning of the season, only 5 goals, only 3 assists, not huge numbers. And I think that's an example of a player who, great talent, but just wasn't applying themselves the whole season. And perhaps the players were demotivated by the results and the league position, because there's a lot of quality players who underperformed, I think.
Yeah, a few players on loan as well, which it maybe doesn't help a team. Looking at like Mateus Fernandes, who was actually excellent, really good from Sporting. You could even include Jordan Holsgrove, that being from on loan from Olympiacos, although he had his injury. They will be interesting to see next season. I think a lot of that talent's going to go. So then suddenly you're sort of, you know, where you're getting your quality from. So that you, that they might struggle next year, actually. I'm inclined to maybe say, and because there's going to be quite a big squad overhaul there.
All right, well, let's go down into the teams that were involved in the relegation battle right up until the last day of the season. Starting with Estrella de Amadora, who finished highest of the bunch in 14th place with 33 points. They were 1 point away from safety, 7 wins in the whole season, 12 draws, 15 losses. Did they match expectations, Barney? I think you have to say they did, because by the club's own admission, they got promoted a year early. We were all very worried about how the season was going to go. But they managed to survive. They didn't win a lot of games. They didn't get a lot of points, but they crucially beat the teams around them in a relegation zone, which gave them a bit of a cushion on the last day. They won the last game of the season anyway. So listen, I think every single Estrella Amadora fan will take that every day of the week, because this was a squad made up mainly of Segunda Liga players, and they managed to survive. So credit to them for that.
Yeah, they just did enough, didn't they? And there's lots of people you can credit for that. I actually really like the defense. I like Keylon de Gasper is probably the standout, the Angolan center back. He was really good. I also feel like Mansour played a key part. A player I liked when he was his time at Santa Clara, but sort of he was a left back, but he was sort of playing in the back three for them. And then further up the pitch, you know, Leo Jabba. Shouldn't forget Ronald, who left for Swansea in the January transfer window, had his moments in the first half of the season. Keekas has been a good striker, got some big goals. I think they have been a success story, and yeah, survive was their only mission this year, and they've done it, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
I have to say, I'm really pleased I did get to see them live because Gaspar, the centre back in real life, I thought was a really, really classy player. He looks like, of that bunch, the player that could be playing at a much higher level. And I know that he has been linked to big clubs in this league, and I think that would be a deserved move. Speaking of teams that always seem to do just enough, let's talk about Bovista, who ended the season in 15th place with 32 points, the same number of points as Portimonense, who ended up in the relegation playoff. They had 7 wins, 11 draws, and 16 losses, and they needed a 98th minute penalty to keep them in the league. Talk about doing just enough. I couldn't believe it, Barney. I couldn't believe it because they've been so poor all season. I really thought that this was the year that they were finally going to get sucked into the relegation battle.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story to this team, isn't there? They've been through such a journey this season. Top of the table under Petit. Players playing way above their level. And then all these financial issues, the club, players not getting paid. It just sort of, the rug just came from under their feet, didn't it? And, you know, the same team, the same players who were top of the table were just, you know, their heads were gone, and the manager left, and they just, yeah, it's, they just didn't have it. You know, who wants to play for them? That was it. That was the question we had to ask ourselves. There was the sort of, where's their motivation? We saw it in a few individuals. I think Salvador Agra, some of the defenders. You know, but the, you know, at the end of the day, that this was a club, and it's been coming for a while, hasn't it? We've talked a lot over the years about Bovis's situation as a club, and their ownership, and where the money's going, and just getting sucked out of them, and it's just left them in such a horrible state. Which is a real shame that they've been lucky to survive. What's to come next year? Who knows? Robert Buzanic is probably, I think he's the striker who's underperformed his XG the most. I mean, that's a little factor, but I don't want to sort of, you know, maybe that's a bit cruel, because I don't really want to blame the players, because I think there's been so many external factors which have affected them. And yeah, it's been a long old season for them after such an amazing start.
The one thing I did want to talk about ahead of the next season was that they do have a new president. They elected Farry Faye as their new president. Who knows whether he'll be able to bring in any changes to improve the way the club's organised. One thing remains, though, Brian, is that as long as Gerard Lopez is still in charge of the club, they'll seem to always be under a cloud of off-field issues. And I thought it was very interesting to see him actually at the stadium on the last day of the season with Farry Faye walking around applauding the fans. Very interesting. But they have survived. So we will see them in the Premier League next season and see what they have to they can do to change the situation. But that last minute penalty, Barney, was at the expense of Portimonense, who fell into 16th place and the relegation playoff. They had 8 wins, 8 draws, and 18 losses this season. They'll be playing AVS Sad in the relegation playoff to survive. Listen, we've had a laugh and a joke at Portimonense's expense. I certainly have over the years. But I want it on the record that I didn't want them in the relegation playoff come the end of the season. I thought they did really well to win their last game of the season, and I think it was pretty heartbreaking that they ended up where they did. Although it's not one game that leaves them in 16th place, it is a whole season. They've not really won enough games, they've not really got enough points. And I think when I look at Portimonense, I just think the squad is not that great. Whenever you look at a starting lineup, it just doesn't have that much quality. So I think it's not necessarily that much of a surprise that they are where they are.
No, they weren't able to grind their way out of this one. Defensively, they've been pretty poor. You know, I had such high hopes for Felipe Relvas to sort of come on leaps and bounds and be one of the best centre backs in this league. He hasn't really shown that. They've yeah, the centre back position has been a bit of an issue for them. Midfield as well, you know, they have good attacking players and the likes of Carlinhos and Denner, but as Luke, you know, solidity wise, they don't have that sort of midfield enforcer. And then yeah, they've relied on the likes of Helio Varela and Sylvester Jasper to sort of be those players to get the ball up the pitch to them and then maybe get a goal or two. And yeah, it's you do worry for them in terms of the relegation playoff, because last few years it's not gone well for the Primera Liga team. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Yeah, maybe it's just too little too late for them. They just, yeah, it wasn't enough in that squad to steer them away from trouble this year.
Absolutely. Well, we'll follow them keenly in the relegation playoff battle. And I think, if I'm being blunt, I would rather they stayed up than we get another SAD club in the league. So I think we'll be back in Porto and ends in their relegation playoff. All right, Barney, let's just end quickly with the last two clubs. I don't think we need to dwell on them too much, because the two clubs confirmed relegated are teams that we've spoken about at great length already. For Vizela, who finished in 17th place, they managed 5 wins this season, 11 draws and 18 losses, which left them with 26 points. And below them in 18th place was Shavs, who again had 5 wins, 8 draws, but 21 losses, which left them with 23 points. I think the thing about these two teams, Barney, and the reason I grouped them together, is that, if we're being honest, they both just looked separate from the rest of the pack for quite a large part of the season. And I think both teams, when you look at them, lacked real quality in the squads, real quality in the starting 11s. And it was quite clear that they were the teams that were going to be relegated for the vast majority of the season.
Yeah, they were so poor this year, and it's quite surprising because there's lots of individuals of talent in those teams, but Moreno, I think that was a real career mistake for him taking the Chaves job, because he I don't think he was the right manager for that team. They needed solidity, and I don't think he brings that. Similar with Ruben de la Barrera as well, had a vision, but it didn't quite play out in the field. Yeah, it's a shame for both those two teams to go down. It won't be the last we see of them. I reckon they've got, you know, they're the sort of club who will come back up. Players to look out for, perhaps, who might be on the move back to the league. I hope we see Samu again, Samuel Sen for Vizela, Thomas Silva there, right back, and then Shabs as well. João Correa, I really like as a right wing back, and Hector Hernandez as well, though I imagine he might go back to Spain. Well, you have to see. Darius Suga had a decent loan at Shavs, possibly Diogo Nascimento as well for Vizela, for on from Benfica. But yeah, at the end of the day, this was just a really poor season from both these two teams, and they were, as you said, they were nowhere near the rest of the pack for this.
Yeah, I mean, Vizela, it was really a case of, you know, the ownership going with these inexperienced Spanish managers. You know, they had Alvaro Pacheco, they let him go. They had Chilipa, who was pretty good, and they let him go. And I think they've just tried to be a bit too clever. They've obviously had an idea of how they want to run the club, and it's not quite panned out. And I think for Shavs, I don't think a lot of people saw this coming for Shavs, because they were pretty successful last year. They didn't lose a large amount of players, but it just goes to show that there's a very fine line between being a mid-table Premier League club and being a club that gets relegated. And you know, that's what all these clubs are in danger of every single year. And unfortunately, this year it was Shavs. Of course, we have to end on Samuel Sen, who was such a good striker for Vizela, and even all the goals he scored couldn't keep them up. But he will be a very in-demand striker, and I think there are a lot of Premier League clubs that would take him on if they had the opportunity. Well, look, I think we'll leave it there. If you listened all the way through to this marathon end of season review, thank you very much. It's been a fantastic season. We've enjoyed watching every bit of it. We've enjoyed following every single team in this league. We hope you have too. Barney, I don't know whether you want to end on anything before we go.
No, just a great season. I've really enjoyed it. It's been thanks for everyone's support as always. It's just, yeah, the community just gets bigger and bigger. So yeah, it's great to be part of it.
So there you have it, from the top of the table with Sporting right down to the bottom with Shavs. We've got you covered. Just a reminder, of course, to keep an eye out for next week's award show, which is going to be a really, really exciting show. We're going to talk about our player of the season, young player of the season, manager of the season. We're going to do our team of the season, all that kind of stuff. So keep an eye out for that. And if you want to get involved in our watch-alongs for the relegation playoff games, or you just want to show us some support, check out our Patreon page, and a link to that will be in the description of this episode. But that just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.